Chapter 32 Aboard the Anakin Solo. So far, so good. Kytus was satisfied for the moment. His task force's arrival in the Corellian system had not caught Centerpoint's defenders entirely unprepared. The Corellians had a defensive screen of capital ships in position to protect the station, but the enemy were apparently unprepared for the speed and ferocity of the attack, and were presenting less forceful resistance than anticipated. The first round of analysis suggested that they were low on proton torpedoes, concussion missiles, and other physical deterrents. He lent a touch of urgency to the Panther Star's commander, subtly pushing the Sulliston to greater speed, greater confidence. Too much caution would not benefit his task force. Capital ships were breaking from orbit around Talus and Trollis, heading toward the conflict, which was halfway between the two worlds. Even when they arrived, the Corellian force would have less strength than his. The troop shuttles were nearing the station itself, only two of them lost so far to defensive fire. He could feel more units in play than should have been present, and only detected them because the streamers of possibility predicting their actions did not align them with either the Alliance or the Corellians. He spared them a look. A fighter squadron, on a mission of harassment rather than defense or destruction? He shook his head. The squadron commander had to be a coward, determined to keep himself and his subordinates out of the line of fire. Kytus would deal with them, make them an example to others when time allowed. Corellia, Coronet, Command Bunker.
What you're talking about is treason.
Admiral Delpin's words were straightforward. With political skills that had served him well all through his professional life, reading character traits, instantly revising plans to accommodate changing circumstances, Denjax Tepler decided to make a slight alteration to the course of this conversation, which meant he had to lie, another of his political skills.
I'm not talking about forcibly removing Koyan from office. But I think you've seen as clearly as I have that he's the sort of duelist who'll shoot his own foot off before his blaster clears its holster. Inevitably, he's going to remove himself from office. At that precise instant, what do we do? Sit obediently by while the war dogs fight among themselves to choose a new Koyan, or take charge and improve things?
Her expression didn't change, but for the first time in the conversation, she didn't respond instantly or predictably. Tepler kept his own elation off his face.
She's considering it. Take the violent removal of Koyan out of the equation, and she has no problem with the idea.
She leaned forward.
Speaking hypothetically, I could probably secure myself in the role of Chief of State just with the backing of the military. Why would I then need you?
Two reasons. First, you don't want to govern all of the Corellian system any more than I do, meaning that as partners, we can keep each other's decisions in perspective. Second, half the burden feels like a tenth the burden. I'll manage the tasks you're unwilling or not entirely competent to handle, and you'll do the same for me.
She took in a breath to answer, and then her comlink beeped. So did Tepler's, a high-pitched urgency signal. They looked at each other with the misgivings of professional leaders who knew things were bad when comlinks went off simultaneously. Tepler pulled out his comlink to answer, while the Admiral did the same with hers.
Tepler here.
Moments later, they were in the corridor, trotting toward the bunker's main situation room, Tepler struggling to keep up with Delpin's long military strides. The Admiral tucked her comlink back into her tunic.
Where's the Prime Minister?
Up on the station. Under attack.
Tepler considered. There had to be some way for him to use this situation to bring about the very change in government he'd just been proposing to the Admiral.
And the station? Is it operational again?
Tepler almost spoke one of Coyen's favorite conversation-ending phrases. That's on a need-to-know basis. But he bit his tongue. Given Delpin's efforts to convince Coyen to cooperate more fully with the Confederation Supreme Military Commander, Coyen had been cutting her out of the line of information flow more and more frequently. But Tepler decided she did need to know. This was a combat situation, and Centerpoint Station was a military resource.
Operational as of 4 hours ago. The techs also think they've overcome the programming that limited the scope of the last beam. If they're right, on its next use, the station could eliminate an entire planet or star. That's why Coyen is there. He's composing his surrender or die message to Admiral Neothel.
Delpin nodded, her jaw set.
If the Alliance seizes control of the station, Corellia is the system under the gun. We need more forces up there now. More than we have. I need to talk to General Fenner.
No, let me. Believe it or not, I speak his language.
She looked at him, dubious, but seemed convinced by his sudden confidence. She nodded. At the next cross corridor, she turned left toward the Situation Room. Tepler continued on alone toward the Prime Minister's communications chamber. The Reveille raced toward the Anakin Solo, arcing to pass well clear of an engagement between a Corellian frigate and an Alliance starfighter squadron. Sial fumed. The Reveille was broadcasting its true registration, its correct password, both belonging to Tycho, the information having been sliced out of its computers by Sial's own mother, who was now aboard the shuttle.
Raquel Leader, begin firing!
All around Sial, the other Raquel pilots opened up on the shuttle. Or rather, began firing in its general vicinity. Shots from their lasers passed all around the shuttle, and one, as beautifully placed as any kill, fired by her father, glanced off the top shields, not endangering the shuttle in the least. A turbo-laser blast, bright columns of light in parallel streams, flashed toward them from the capital ship. At this range, the Anakin Solo's gunners were only likely to hit by accident. But accidents did happen. Suddenly, all the Raquels were on the defense, their approaches as erratic as the flight of piranha beetles in mating season.
Raquel Leader to squadron. Break by wing pairs whenever you feel like it, or when I say break. We'll form up off the Anakin Solo's bow, outside the range of its main guns.
Sial heard acknowledgments from the other pilots and added her own. Then her comlink, her personal comlink, clipped to her tunic under her flight suit, came to life.
Captain Antilles.
It was Tycho's voice.
Yes, General.
Break when the others do. Do not, I say again, do not stay with me. I'm going to make my run from here.
But, sir...
That was an order. Acknowledge it.
Acknowledged, sir.
A chill settled in Sial's stomach as a notion of what Tycho planned to do occurred to her. Aboard the Anakin Solo. A beep, indicating a high-priority query, sounded from Lieutenant Tebbutt's terminal. She switched from the screen of scrolling security data to the query. The face of one of the Anakin Solo's communications officers, a Rodian, came up on screen.
Lieutenant!
Yes, Ensign.
We have an emergency transmission from the shuttle Reveille, inbound, carrying General Selchu. They're being pursued by enemy fighters, and request immediate access to our hangar bay.
Do they check out?
All codes and passwords are correct.
Granted.
Thank you, Lieutenant.
The screen cleared, and Tebbutt switched back to her data. Incoming fire from the Anakin Solo increased as the Raykels neared the capital ship. The Anakin Solo's gunners were good. Laser and ion shots missed the Reveille by mere hundreds of meters, but came increasingly close to the pursuing X-Wings. Pair by pair, the Raykels peeled away, zooming to comparatively safe distances. Now only two wing pairs were left, Wedge and Sonola, Tycho and Sial. Another near hit rattled Tycho's cockpit. He ignored it, focusing on the shuttle before him and on the Anakin Solo, rapidly getting bigger. The plan Luke, Wedge, and their committee of advisors had put together was deceptively simple, and based around the phrase, "Let the enemy do the work." Was it going to be tough to smuggle a team of infiltrators aboard the Anakin Solo, especially because security had doubtless been tightened after the Love Commander's recent mission? Of course. So the Jedi would just steal Tycho's shuttle, with its valid authorizations, and chase it to safety aboard the Anakin Solo. Equally tough to get saboteurs aboard Centerpoint Station? They'd dress up as Galactic Alliance Guard and board in the wake of the Alliance's genuine boarding action. And destroying the station itself? Tycho shook his head. As half-ambassador to, half-captive of the Jedi, he hadn't been told what method they planned to use to eliminate Centerpoint, but he assumed it followed the same philosophy. Let the enemy do the work. Use the enemy's strength against them. Very Jedi-like. Wedge's voice sounded in his ear.
Break!
Wedge and Sonola banked abruptly to port, vanishing from Tycho's vision, but not from his sensor board. Sial stayed behind Tycho. He thumbed his personal comlink, the one not slaved or monitored by the Raykels. Now, Antilles.
Yes, sir.
There was pain in Sial's voice. Then her X-Wing, too, banked, following her father's outbound course, leaving Tycho alone, staring into the scores of turbolaser batteries and ion cannons of the Anakin Solo. He closed in on the Reveille's tail, discouraging the Anakin Solo's gunners from firing on him. It only discouraged the ones who were sensible, or who actually cared if the Reveille made it. The hotshots continued firing, their blasts coming ever closer until Tycho could barely see through his canopy because of the bright flashes just beyond. His cockpit rattled constantly from energy scraping at the periphery of his shields. But ahead was the Anakin Solo's underside. The belly doors that led to its hangar bay opened just wide enough for a shuttle to enter. Suddenly, the incoming fire ceased. He was too close for the gunners to target. Ahead, the Reveille rose toward the hangar entrance and reduced speed. Tycho decelerated as well, but not as much, and overshot the shuttle, his X-Wing's underside missing the shuttle's top hull by 3 meters or less. Tycho hit the Anakin Solo's atmosphere containment shield fast enough that the sudden return of friction set off heat warning alarms. He could feel the impact decelerate him further, and the atmosphere catching his S-foils nearly spun him out of control. He wrestled with his control yoke and arced over hundreds of meters of bare hangar floor. At the end of a ballistic arc, he fired his repulsors and came down to a jarring landing that would, under other circumstances, have been mortifying. He popped his canopy and rose, turning to see the Reveille rise into the hangar, then descend toward its own landing. Tycho keyed his personal comlink.
This is General Selchu. Put me through to the bridge.
A high-pitched, musical Rodian's voice answered.
Welcome aboard, General.
Be advised. I am not aboard the Reveille.
A half-squadron of Alliance security agents rushed toward his X-Wing. He raised his hands and kept talking. The Reveille is crewed by an intrusion team of Jedi and saboteurs. I'm in the snub fighter. Transponder designation Rake 3.
I'll put you through to Lieutenant Tebbutt.
Tycho gritted his teeth at both the delay and the unpleasantness of the duty he was performing. But that was it. Duty. Duty meant he had to alert his chain of command that insurgents, including his best friend's wife, were aboard. Duty meant he had to do his best to prevent the destruction of Centerpoint, destruction that he privately welcomed, as it would remove one of the galaxy's most destructive and ill-used forces from the playing field. Abruptly, smoke began pouring out of the Reveille's thrusters. It was far too thick, too voluminous, to be the result of an engine fire. It flowed rapidly in all directions, engulfing the security team and mechanics moving toward the shuttle. It reached the rear edge of the security team guarding Tycho before any of them noticed. Then one waved and shouted. All turned to look. All but one. Overly tense, startled by the shout, the guard fired. The shot hit Tycho in the center of the chest, frying his comlink. Tycho went down, dropping once more into his pilot's seat.